Hello and welcome to another episode of Meenal's World. Sorry, this episode has come out a little bit later today. I make sure that I do release all episodes on Friday, and it's still Friday, 5 p.m, so I still have a chance to squeeze it in before the weekend comes around. We've had a very busy week because we haven't had the childcare that we usually have. I haven't had the support that I usually have to be able to be as productive as I like to be. And this is why I'm a bit late today. And Nishant's been recording some music with his band as well. So we've been quite busy. And a couple of days this week where Radhika was a bit of a handful with her teething. So not that I'm blaming it on the baby, but I think I'm allowed to do that for some time at least. Thank you for joining me again. This is episode 34, where I talk about my fitness journey. So a lot of you may know that before I was pregnant, my life was very, I wouldn't say busy, because everyone's life is busy, but it was a life where I wanted to just constantly challenge myself. I wanted to make sure that I not only was I working as a full-time doctor, but also doing my table tennis, and I was also making sure that I was in good shape, because there was a part of me that knew that all of this was sort of intertwined with each other. Being productive, my physical fitness played a huge role in my mental health, and I made sure that I did as much as I could. And then I felt pregnant, and then that just changed everything, because I didn't appreciate my health as much as I ever have until now, because not only was I going through sickness, I was also diagnosed with gestational diabetes. Now, if I talk about the sickness, first of all, that was really difficult to deal with, because I was driving to work as well, which meant that I had to drive almost an hour each way. And in the roads in the UK, especially on the motorway, it's not easy to just sort of pull over and take some fresh air or just take a moment to yourself. Like, you just have to drive until you find the next service station. And it wasn't easy. And to be driving to work every morning feeling sick, and also at the same time knowing that no medication was working. I tried most anti-sicknesses, I tried homeopathic medicine, nothing was working. It was just something I just felt I had to just live with. And it always, you know, took me back to my cancer patients who were going through this long-term chemo, and how they had to suffer with the sickness. And we always tried to reassure them by saying to them that it would get better. And when people were telling me it was going to get better, I just knew that that's all they could say. And it was a very, very difficult time. It meant that I couldn't go for long walks, I couldn't play table tennis, because just getting through the day without vomiting, or just getting through the day and getting a meal in, was an achievement for me. And I lost a significant amount of weight at the start, and I was worried, because obviously I was worried about the health of my baby as well. And then lockdown happened, and then I was working from home, and then I was in my third trimester, so suddenly I was getting bigger, I was getting less active, and it took a huge mental toll as well, because I didn't have that outlet, I didn't have that escape from my life, and that escape from all the daily stresses that we were facing. I remember we were taking the government to court as well, and that in itself was a huge, huge deal. So when I went to one of my pregnancy checkups, they said, look, you have gestational diabetes. And I was terrified. I'm not going to lie. And this was a time, remember, where women were not allowed to take in their partners for any checkups or any appointments. So my community care, so the midwives who were coming in to check in on me at home, that all changed all of a sudden. That meant I had to go into hospital now, because I needed more thorough checks. And I had to get scans on a more constant basis. When I found out I had gestational diabetes, I figured that, well, my genetics don't favor me. The pandemic hasn't favored me either. And I've always taken for granted that I just assumed that I'd be in good health. My frame is quite small. I've been very active throughout my life. I mean, I never have to worry about chronic diseases like heart disease, diabetes. Like, why would I? And when I found out I had gestational diabetes, I reflected on it. And the truth is, I used pregnancy as an excuse to eat lots of crap. And it reminded me of all of the Instagram profiles I've seen, all the women I've spoken to who've said, well, their weight loss postpartum was was very difficult, and how when they had their baby, because they found it so difficult to take care of them of themselves, they were just sort of snacking on toast or crisps or anything they could get their hands on. And I mean, for all of you who know me, you know how stubborn I am. I said I don't want to be that person. I still specifically remember someone telling me that one of their friends hadn't left the house for 3 months. 3 months. I mean, that's crazy. How can, I mean, I didn't even know what to say. I think I'd pull my hair out, my husband's hair out as well. It's a long time. And I just had this narrative that I'd be locked in. And especially in our South Asian communities, you know, we were told that for the first 40 days, you shouldn't really leave the house. Neither should your baby, because they say it can cast an evil eye on you and the child. But I told my mom, I said, I can't do that. I can't sit at home for this long. And it's not going to be good for me. It's not going to be good for the baby. And it's not going to be good for Nishant either. So I sort of knew what kind of slippery slope I was potentially getting myself into. And a part of me also wanted to prove everybody wrong. I wanted to show people, especially those who told me I couldn't, that I can. And this is why I contacted Juggy. Now, the special thing about me contacting Juggy was that I contacted him before I even gave birth. I remember taking a walk around the block in late June, I'd say, and the sun was shining and it was really, really warm. And I was just waddling my way in the park, and I called Juggy and said, look, I want to do this. And Juggy said, well, Meenal, remember you're going for a C-section. So this time I knew I was going to have a cesarean. And Juggy said, well, you know, it does take time to recover, and it is major surgery. So he said, just get back to me in your own time. And I said, no, don't say that to me. In 6 weeks, after 6 weeks of me delivering, I'm going to call you. And I made that decision very early on. I was told not to do it. I was told that it's too early. I was told, use the time to enjoy with your baby and all these things. But I knew I can't enjoy my life with my baby. I can't enjoy my life with my husband if I don't take care of myself. And this is something that is completely out of the narrative when women give birth, right? You call a woman up and say, how's a baby? How's motherhood? We don't ask, how are you? We don't ask, are you feeling okay? Do you need any help? And unfortunately, the reality is we cannot rely on that. We have to find ways to make sure that we take care of ourselves and we get through these struggles in our own way. And luckily, I had that sort of mentality that I was going to do early on. And I guess lockdown and the pandemic gave me that headspace. And I guess getting gestational diabetes gave me the kick in the butt as well that I needed. So remember, I was going through a C-section, and the first day after my surgery, a part of me regretted what I told Juggy. I'm biting my fingers as I say this because I sound like such an idiot now, but it was tough. The first day off, I mean, the surgery itself was great. I had probably had the best surgeons who took care of me, but I didn't think I would be so immobile. I didn't think I'd have this heavy bleeding that almost made me unable to walk and unable to carry out daily tasks. I mean, if you talk about having a period, it's nothing like that. Think about having the heaviest period of your life for 3 weeks continuously. Added pain and lack of sleep and adjusting to a new life. That's what it was like. The first day after surgery, I had this immense pain in my back, and I didn't know what it was. And I think it was just the fact that I wasn't moving around so much. I felt really stiff, and this pain meant that I couldn't walk properly. And I kept forgetting that I did have major abdominal surgery, and I was one of those people who took it lightly, but I shouldn't have. There was a lot of bleeding, and I had to figure out how I could breastfeed Radhika as well. And it was tough because the first few days Radhika did lose some weight, and it wasn't because I was doing anything wrong or she was doing anything wrong. It was just my milk supply took a bit longer to come in. And weight loss is quite common anyway in the first few days, but Radhika had lost a bit more weight than I expected or than we had liked. So breastfeeding for me was one of those things that I wanted to make sure I got. And I got the best advice I got was that you just have to persevere, because it's one of those things that take time. And It was painful. It was really, really painful. I had so much anxiety before having to feed Radhika. I would have a timer and tell myself, okay, every 2 hours you have to feed her. I had the bottle on the side as a backup in case my breast milk wasn't enough. But when I would look at the timer and think, oh God, we're almost at the 2 hour mark, I need to feed her now, I had so much anxiety because I knew she depended fully on me. It wasn't like, you know, when we're hungry, you can just like say, okay, let's just Uber Eats or let's just call Pizza Hut. It's not like that. She's fully dependent on me. For her nappy changing, for her breastfeeding, for her survival, really. There was no other way around it. And I completely lost myself. I didn't know who I was anymore. I had this new role that I was playing in my life, and that took over everything else. Being a doctor, being a wife, being a daughter, being a friend, being an activist, campaigner, all of that was pushed to one side completely. None of that came in light anymore. And Juggy did warn me of this. Juggy did say that you need time to settle into this new life. You need time to figure out how you're going to do things. But Juggy has never been a mother, but he's seen it with his wife, which is why his advice meant so much to me. I felt that I wouldn't be able to find my direction again. And you know what? It's okay to feel like that from time to time, because when you hit your lowest lows, it's when you have a breakthrough. And these breakthroughs actually mold you into a better person. And I needed that. Imagine you're taking care of an old grandparent who's fully dependent on you. They rely on you to bathe, they rely on you for changes, for food, for drink, for everything, for bed changing. That's exactly what was going on. Even climbing the stairs was a struggle. I had to sleep downstairs with the baby. And I remember there was one day, and I'm saying this with goosebumps, because a part of me can't believe I still went through that. The human body is so incredible. Women's bodies are so incredible. We don't celebrate it enough. I mean, we go through these 9 months where we create this human life, and then we deliver this human life and bring it into the world, and we just don't get enough credit for it. We really, really don't. And there was one day I remember I was sat on the toilet seat and I cried my eyes out because everything was so painful. Nothing was working. I took all the medications that were suggested. I tried to just get on with it, but nothing was working. That morning, Nishant says, when I was in the shower, and he said, what's going on? And I was in tears. And I said, I can't do this. I can't be a good mother. I can't feed properly. I can't even take a shower, let alone give this tiny life everything that she needs. And he understood what I was going through. No man will ever understand, but I mean that he showed that compassion. And sometimes that's all we need, some acknowledgement that we're going through this. Because I wasn't in any state of mind to fully understand what I was going through. I needed someone to say, in the best way possible, I am here to help you and guide you. And someone to, as best as I can, put themselves in my shoes. Now, Juggy always asks me, like, why did you say 6 weeks? And they say 6 weeks is one of the points where it's sort of safe to start exercising, or at least do light exercise. But I gave myself 6 weeks because this is the kind of thing that can go on forever, right? You can use the excuse of giving birth for, well, as long as you want. You can use it 2 years on and say, well, I've got a young baby. I've got to feed her. I've got to take care of her. I don't have time to exercise. I wanted to make sure that I didn't fall into that trap. Because if there was no deadline, there was no urgency. And in those 6 weeks, I remember my mom fed me a lot. A lot of carbs, a lot of ghee, a lot of butter. And I didn't care. I just wanted to make sure I recovered. So then I could get back into my life as best as I possibly can. And the general feeling at that point is that you start to panic, because now not only have you been in this bubble for so long, now you have to step out of this bubble and say, okay, now how can I mold my life into this new life? Nishant went back to work and my parents had gone back to Gibraltar. So we were almost left alone. I mean, we did have the occasional visits from Nishant's parents, but we were in lockdown, so visiting wasn't so accessible as we'd hoped. But, you know, the general narrative at that time with a lot of new mothers in that period of time is panic, distress, anxiety. And I did not want to have any of that. I refused. I was just so tired of all this negativity. I was so tired of this bullshit. Like, why are people telling me I can't? Why are people telling me I can't get fit again? Why are people telling me that I need to give everything I have to this little baby? It doesn't have to be that way. And forgive me for sounding pretentious, but I didn't want to be one of those mothers who was happy that, you know, they wash their hair or they brush their teeth. Don't get me wrong, I have those days. There are days where just even coming out of it with one meal that I've eaten or even stepping outside for 10 minutes is a big, big win. But there's also a part of me that understands that these are the basics, the absolute basics that I expect of myself. And this is setting your standards to your own life. People have their own standards. Doesn't mean you have to either drop them for other people. Doesn't mean you have to match them for other people either. You have your own standards, and it takes a deep, deep understanding of yourself to know what you want and what you're capable of. And when you go into motherhood, when you start a new life, not just motherhood, when you start a new job, things change. And there are going to be a lot of people telling you, you can't. There are going to be a lot of people telling you, you're going to be tired. There are going to be plenty of people telling you, you won't have time. And I chose to block all of that out completely. 6 weeks on, I had my first phone call with Jugni, and I was a mess, complete mess. He called me on my phone. I didn't even have my laptop ready. It was a Zoom call. Radhika was on my lap and I was breastfeeding her. I was so out of it. I didn't even know that part of my shoulder was complete. I was like, I had my t-shirt over my shoulder because I was breastfeeding her and I didn't even realize it. And Juggy was so calm and understanding. I said, Juggy, I'm so sorry. Let me get myself together. And he was so patient. So I can't explain how he just sat there and he just waited and he just listened. And he said to me, Mila, how can I help you? And those three words, well, how can I help you? Sorry, five words. Those five words meant so much to me. I cried. I just bawled out when I said, Juggy, I'm a mess. This is not the person I am. Help me. Help me get back to who I was. Help not just back to who I was, but even if you can, a better version of who I was. And Juggy broke everything down with me. He asked me what I enjoyed doing. He asked me why I didn't have an appetite. He asked me what makes me happy. And these are things that people don't ask you. These are things we don't ask ourselves. And then from Juggy's phone call, I went to Jyoti's phone call. And Jyoti was my personal trainer throughout the time. And I remember my first phone call with her as well. And I was also breastfeeding Radhika because Radhika needs me and still does almost every second of the day when she's awake. She won't go with anybody else because of the pandemic. I feel like she hasn't had that social contact. So the only person she knows is me. Again, I was breastfeeding and Jyoti was asking me all of these things. And I became really emotional, not because I realized how lost I was, but also because someone cared. Somebody outside my family cared and somebody wanted to help me. And that meant everything. Now, the 3 months have been really interesting because I feel like I'm still going through the transformation. Although we have finished 3 months technically, I still feel like I'm going through the transformation. I still feel like I'm learning a lot about myself. And this is the beauty of this, that this whole journey hasn't just been a case of how much weight can you lose in 3 months or how much can your waist size go down or how much weight can you lose around your hips. It's got nothing to do with that. It's how can we change your lifestyle so that you can implement this for the rest of your life. Not only that, but how can you teach others as well? And this form of education is so, so important. I remember the first week, I'm laughing because it sounds so, so stupid. The first week, Radhika was waking up almost every 2 hours at nighttime because her feeds were shorter. And I think at that time, the quality of breast milk is a bit different. It's not what it is now, obviously, because now it's much thicker, it's much richer. So it does fill her up a lot easier. Well, the inevitable happened and Radhika woke up from her nap and had to go and sort that out. So I fixed her and she's okay, and she's watching some nursery rhymes on YouTube, and hopefully that will keep her distracted for some time. But I spoke to Jyoti, and I feel like I've lost my train of thought here. Feel like I was on a nice roll. But I think the main thing was, with all of this, speaking to the psychologist, Harbinder, and one of the greatest things about Jyoti has created is that he talks about your physical, psychological, and physiological well-being, which I think is something that a lot of people miss out on, you know, the psychological part, like, what's actually stopping you? What is stopping you from getting from A to B? Because a lot of us want to lose weight, a lot of us want to get a nicer body, a lot of us want to have this image of ourselves where we feel confident and we look confident, but there's always something much deeper down that affects us. And one of the things that I spoke to Harbinder about was that I really struggle to understand the concept of time and to understand the concept of having deadlines to complete my tasks. So that's something we spent a lot of time working on, because we realize that, okay, fine, I have a lot of things I want to achieve, a lot of things I want to do, and I can't do everything in 24 hours. But you know what? You can do it in 48 hours or 72 hours. And if you sort of stretch your expectations a bit longer, then it makes things easier for you and you become happier. I mean, when you're unrealistic, I think that's when we're the most unhappy. When we never meet our expectations, when we never meet our goals, that's when we're most unhappy. And we have to learn how to adapt so that we reach our goal, and these are the small wins that help us get through every day. And I remember I wanted to be the one waking up at 5 a.m. doing my exercise and having my me time, you know, this thing that mums dream of, this me time that I always saw before I gave birth, the time in the morning to have to yourself before your child wakes up and give them breakfast, all that stuff. I dreamed of it. I was at that hour when I wake up, I'm going to be glowing. I'm going to have a nice cup of coffee and sit on the couch and read my book, snuggle up. Hell no, none of that happened. I wake up at 5 a.m. and I'm so groggy. I'm so tired. I don't even know what day it is sometimes. I wake up confused. But I realize that I don't actually have to wake up at 5 a.m. to exercise. I can wake up much later, because when I was waking up at 5 a.m., it meant that I was much more tired throughout the day and I was much more unproductive. So one of the biggest things that Jyoti taught me, Jyoti and Harbinder, was that you have to let go of your expectations and you have to completely detach yourself from what you see on social media. You have to completely detach yourself from those around you, because you are your individual person. And it's okay to say, don't fuck with me. Don't fuck with my time. This is my time and it's precious. This is my bubble. Don't come in my way. And I have told Nishant before that I need time in the evenings. If he's watching TV, he wants us to watch a movie together. That's something I have to sacrifice. And You have to have that communication with your family. You have to have the communication with your friends and those around you. And if they don't agree with it or if they don't support you, then you just have to tell them, I'm sorry, but I'm just going to carry on with my ways. And I look back now and yes, I have lost a lot of weight. I've taken a lot of numbers off my waist and hips. And you know what? This journey has been so much more than that. This journey has been a period of my life where I want to create a much bigger impact within our community, especially for women. Women are told that we're not capable of, or we cannot achieve the pinnacle of our health, or that point of our health that we want to. And we're told that our family has to come first. I'm not saying it doesn't. Of course it does, but it's not the be all and end all. And this is something I really want to emphasize, that despite ending the 3-month phase with Jyoti, there's still so much more I need to learn. And Jyoti's become a really good friend. So has Jyoti and Harbinder. The whole team have been incredible. And Jyoti has created something that will live on for years and decades, even when he's not around. Because we all feel the same way. We're all in the same boat. And this is what I want to really emphasize on, that if you're struggling to achieve something, if you're struggling to be that person you want to be, look at the people around you. I looked at the people around me. They weren't the right people. But when I went towards Jyoti, he has this community of people who think along the same lines. And that's when change happened. That's when I became the person I am today. And why am I sharing this? Well, I'm sharing it because, hello, I was dealing with a newborn baby who is entirely dependent on me. I'm dealing with a pandemic where I don't have the support. I don't have the childcare, but I did it. And this is not just about the weight loss. You can translate this into so many other aspects of your life. So if I can do it, there is absolutely no reason why you can't. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Meenal's World. This was something that I spoke very passionately about and something that I feel needs to be out there. And I'm getting all these episodes together because I want to look back in the next few years. And this is like my diary. This is my way of sharing my life with you. And I hope you can connect in some way. And if you want to get in touch with Juggy, I'll leave his details in the show notes. Juggy has had his own personal journey, his own personal story. And his story of pain and success is another huge inspiration to me as well. Thank you all for tuning in. Next week, we're very likely to have a guest. And this guest is, well, he's gonna be very, very eye-opening to the world around us. And I cannot thank you all for showing your love every week. If you want to get in touch with me, find me on Instagram at MeenalsWorld. You can also drop me an email to meenalsworldpodcast@gmail.com. And I'll see you on Tuesday for another Tuesday morning podcast. I love doing this. I love talking to you guys. I love seeing your emails. And I love when you send me questions because it allows me to connect with so many of you. And living in a global pandemic, having the capability to say hi to all of you and have that connection, that social connection means so, so much to me. Sending you all a big hug. You can do anything you put your mind to. Remember that. Have a lovely weekend, and I'll see you all very soon.